Welcome to Going Out of Your Mind on Vivid Life Radio. On each show, you'll be taken on a journey out of your mind and into your heart and inner wisdom by brilliant and inspiring guests who will deeply enrich your life. And here's your hosts, award-winning authors, meditation and mindfulness teachers, Ed and Deb Shapiro.
Hello, everybody. This is Deb Shapiro. I'm afraid Ed can't join us today, but that's okay because we have a guest who is totally brilliant and will talk lots and is there to help you. Judith Ansara has been a leading teacher, guide, and psychotherapist and coach and seminar leader and all sorts of things throughout her adult life, and has recently been applying all of this to help the people in Greece, the refugees coming into the Greek islands, which we'll talk about later. But first, I just want her to talk about and say hello to her, but what she means by her being an innovator in the world of applied human consciousness. Because that's in her bio, and it's fascinating. And I know she's got some good things to say about what that means. Judith, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb. Thanks so much, and hi to everyone out there. So that phrase, I think I've been using that for quite a while, applied human consciousness. So we have our awareness, our presence, our state of being that is like an independent operating system. It's how we engage directly with the conditions of our lives, with other people, with our own phenomenology and history. And applied human consciousness, for me, implies not just how do I pay attention and work and heal so that I can be the most awake, the most loving, the most compassionate, the clearest channel for the best of who I am. And then how do we take that into our expressions in the world? Most of us live at a time where we're not monks in a cave, where we have jobs, we have families, we have service work that we do. And how do we take that inner work and actually translate it where the real challenges and the real tests are? Is how do we show up in our lives? What are the choices we make that feel congruent and in deep alignment with our own values? So I think that's my first wave on that question, Deb. Thank you.
Well, I have a sense you did exactly that for yourself. And we're not suggesting that everybody by any means needs to do this, but you took yourself to the islands in Greece to help with the refugees, the Syrian and the Iranian, all the different refugees who are coming in. At the moment, it's about 70 boatloads a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, try and just get your head around that one. I've been watching, maybe because I'm European, maybe because, you know, I'm closer to Greece than a lot of Americans might be, but that whole situation has been touching me deeply. And watching Susan Sarandon has been out there making videos of the boats coming in and watching these poor homeless people soaking wet, freezing cold, having just been at sea for hours trying to find land, coming to land to people who are greeting them with coats and warm drinks and a place to stay. It's just been very moving. And again, I just want to quote Benedict Cumberbatch, who said it very beautifully, and he just said, no mother would put their child in a boat if the land was safe. And that, to me, was a very moving way of understanding what these people are going through. But for you going there, tell us about your motivation for going.
Thank you. So I, too, like you, and I think many other people, have been tracking what is considered the largest human rights crisis going on in the planet, also with the awareness that it hasn't peaked and it's going to continue. And I have been really watching this with a sense of very deep concern and a good dose of compassion, but it really was getting me in the gut. And I think many of us, sometimes limit how deeply I dive in because the world is full of suffering. And we have to find our right relationship to engage with that. But for my whole life, I've had a sense of calling to get out of the comfort, the relative comfort of my own life. I live in Boulder, Colorado. I've got a lovely family. I've got sufficient money to be comfortable. And there's always been this deep sense of call in me to pop out of the known world and to pop out of where things are so comfortable and to take my practice really into the world in a sense. And I think, you know, I'm probably, had my life circumstances been different, what might have been one of these young people who signed up for the Peace Corps, but I was never able to do that. So this call has been one of those things that just has lived there in me. And so I had some open space this fall, and I was reading, and it just became clear, like, go, just go. Don't think about it. Don't talk it to death. Don't live in all your considerations of how hard it might be or whatever. And I just decided I was going to go and see what it was like, to see how I might be able to serve. And I feel like following that, both recognizing that and then having really the courage, because it was scary. There was a lot of unknown. To follow that has really been one of the most important and profound choices I've been able and honored to make in my life. So I started looking, you know, how can I get hooked in? And this is sort of a funny aside, Deb, but I literally started typing a letter to Médecins Sans Frontières, which is the European version of Doctors Without Borders. And I got about, three sentences in, and I went like, oh, my God, here I am. I'm a 67-year-old woman. I'm saying, hey, I'd like to come to Greece and volunteer. I don't have any medical training. I've never done this kind of work. I don't speak any languages, but I'd sure like to come help. And I remember my hand going to my forehead and just going like, oh, my God, you're a nightmare volunteer. This is not what I need, you know?
I must admit, most
that
of the volunteers...
That went on delete really quick. And
most
I started
of the volunteers I've seen on TV and stuff have been young men, young Christian men. I don't think they're 67-year-old women at all.
Well, and also, and I'll talk a little about this because people, I'm sure, will get sparked about how can I participate if you feel called that way. So I started looking around for grassroots organizations, and I found one on the island of Kos, which is one of the larger islands, which has been in the media a lot. At the peak of the summer, they were getting 5,000 to 6,000 refugees arriving by boat every day. And I was planning to go there. I had a little grassroots organization that I'd found, and literally about a week and a half before my flight to Athens, I get an email saying, gosh, my girls are back in school. I can't really do anything anymore, and things are getting a little dangerous here. So I had a very short time to figure out where to do, and again, I started networking, and finally through my Greek tech helper guy, long story short, got in touch with a friend of his father's who had been on the islands and who teaches at a university in the States. And he literally sent me the name and the phone number of a wonderful woman named Martina Castavelli, who had founded an organization called the Leros Solidarity Network, which is on Leros. Is a very small island receiving refugees, very much not in the news because of its size. And he said, give her a call. So, you know, I'm like, okay, I called her. And in this very rushed but, you know, enthusiastic voice, like she's always, when I met her, she's always on the run doing 20 things at once. And I said, hey, you know, I'd like to come over. I've got some time. I've got about a month or 5 weeks, and I'd love to see if I can be of help. And she said, literally, yes, yes, come, I'll be at the port police, and hung up. So that was my entree, and I just decided to go for it. So I had invited a young friend to come along with me, who is a marvelous young man and is interested in this kind of work and was about to go off to nursing school essentially to enable him to do this. And I said, hey, you want to go to Greece with me? And so in about 48 hours, he changed his plans around, and we were off on our plane. And we landed on this little island and rented a motor scooter. This is why it's good to have a 23-year-old friend with you. And we headed down to the port police on this island of Leros. And within moments, we have landed in the thick of the crisis. There are close to 1,000 refugees milling around. There's people having medical crisis. People are giving us used up diabetes injection, insulin injection pens, saying, we need this right away. What can you do? People wet, people hungry, people thirsty. And because this was such a grassroots organization, and because Matina, who we met that first within the first 20 minutes, had been doing this work for a long time, but with maybe 50 arrivals a week, and then all of a sudden in the spring and summer, it was many thousands a week. So there
okay,
was...
Judith, I'm going to stop you there. To, we can come back to that. We've just got to stop for a quick commercial break, but this is
great.
Exactly what I need to hear. It's so alive. So... everybody, we'll be back in just a few minutes with Judith and Sarah.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your health is your wealth. Your prosperity is tied directly into your personal energy and health. Are you ready for abundance? Dr. Anastasia Chopoulos is the scientific healer, author, speaker, and teacher dedicated to helping you live your most energized and healthy life. Go to www.scientifichealer.com now and sign up for Anastasia's free powerful healing audio and weekly newsletter. Let's get you going with training, mentoring, and support to energize you to your healthiest and most abundant life.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.
So we're back with This Is Going Out of Your Mind with Deb Shapiro, and we're talking with Judith Ansara, who's recently back from Greece. And we don't want to talk about it too much more because obviously it doesn't apply to everybody who's listening. But I just wanted to say one thing in particular which really struck me was very visual imagery. Judith wrote a blog when she got there saying how within a few minutes her vow to never use bottled water because of the bottles and the pollution just went out the window because the bottled water was all that was needed. Am I right, Judith?
Well, yes, I would say a lot of preconceptions disappeared in a moment. And I think this is the thing that's compelling about getting ourselves out of the known world where everything's like set. We can know what to expect and we're actually able to exercise a reasonable amount of control, even though control may be ultimately an illusion. So I hadn't bought a plastic bottle in over 10 years. And I got there and people had water for some of them 3 days, babies, infants, nursing mothers, young children, and bottled waters was what they were giving out. And so, you know, when we're put to the test, these people put to the test, people trying to show up and somehow be of some service in the midst of what is total chaos, you show up and you do what's needed. You know, I've got some background in trauma healing, and I had some illusion that I was going to set up this healing tent and, you know, do hands-on work and help people breathe and settle. And again, within 15 minutes, I go like, that's ridiculous. These people are in the midst. This is just stop one in a very long and dangerous and difficult journey. So I would say, you know, every day, every hour of every day was presenting us with new challenges. And those of us who were able to find our way in that, I would say for myself very personally, my decades of contemplative practice of how can I just be with what is, how can I show up with compassion, how can I work with the anxiety or stress that might get activated in me, how can I bring love and presence and compassion to each person I meet, including the volunteers, some of whom were rather off the wall, I have to say, and many were wonderful. How do I show up in the moment? How does
okay.
my...
Judith, I'm going to interrupt you here because you just said something a minute ago that triggered something in my mind about compassion and the reality that a lot of people are living with, that it's a combination to be compassionate and yet at the same time the fear that they might be bringing in terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you balance that with this huge humane catastrophe of needing compassion and yet at the same time maybe feeling the fear that we're bringing terrorists into our midst?
Great, great question, Deb. So first of all, I would say the complexity of this situation, as is true in almost any crisis situation, the endless layers of politics, traffickers making $5 million a day, inept governments, underfunded governments like Greece, this concern of like, oh, we want to be compassionate, but then this rising xenophobia, which we're seeing everywhere, which is that fear-activated part of ourselves. And you see the complexity, like, oh, that's a normal fear. Like, how are we going to prevent the Paris attacks? And I would say from early on being there, I went like, it's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable that some people are going to sneak through. And we've lived very protected lives. The majority, the vast majority of these people are people who are literally running for their lives. And I don't make a huge distinction between those from Syria and people who are fleeing desperate economic conditions elsewhere. So yes, of course, we want to be as safe as we can, and good screening and all that is critical and appropriate. But there's a difference between being reasonable and putting in good screening processes, knowing we will never get it perfect. Life is not perfect that way. And what is our commitment to be humane and compassionate? What's our commitment to remember that almost everyone has come from somewhere? Certainly with my Jewish heritage, that was true. So that's the balance. And I think for all of us who've been involved in spiritual practice, I often, since the time I was a young woman, felt like there was this dichotomy of there's love and there's fear. And we have a choice. Do we let love guide us, or do we put fear in the driver's seat? So I think my ultimate answer to that is be smart, but put love in the driver's seat.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
So that brings us to realizing that obviously you went to Greece, but not all of us can. Not all of us are confronted with such a crisis in humanity, but there are ways we can live our values and embody our spiritual life here in this country or wherever we are without having to go anywhere. That there are many, many people in need. There's many ways we can serve. But more importantly, what is our true motivation? How do we enact how we enact our values?
Beautiful question. Thank you. So forgive my just pause while I really take that in a moment. How do we, I'm going to just pick up on your last phrase there, Deb, of how do we live our values? So certainly in my own life, you know, I've raised three kids, I have a coaching and teaching practice, I've got a life, I've got all the chop wood, carry water, I've got relationships, all those things for all of us. And I've certainly had, like all of us, some very challenging conditions to have to deal with illness issues and relationship issues and all the stuff that comes in. So it's very easy, and I know it was easy for me, in a sense, to let what's in front of me. It's consuming. It takes our time. You know, many of us are lucky if we get time to go to a yoga class, or we really manage to sit for a half an hour a day, or if we have any time with our children or our loved ones or our friends. In the West, most of us live pretty busy lives. And so I think to hold in front of us the question of not just what do I need today and what do I need to do, but what's mine to do? What's mine to serve today? And to keep that value and that question, to live that question of how can I bring the best of me? How can I serve? And like you said, Dev, you know, I feel privileged that I could pick up from my life and go off to Greece for 5 weeks. And it also cost me a nice little bundle of cash to do that. And I feel very privileged that I was able to have that direct experience, but there's probably none of us who live in a world where there isn't need, where there isn't suffering that is compelling and real. And all I can say about how I've tried to live, and this experience being one of the more radical expressions of that, is we can get consumed with our own suffering. And yet the greatest joy, the greatest freedom that I have found has been when I can move myself out of that kind of self-absorption and find ways of giving, whether it's a kindness in the grocery line or whether it's something as radical as this was for me or whether it's volunteering a few hours or whatever it may be for you. Of how can I be and live the values that I really care about? How can I not shy from the suffering in the world and yet not have it ruin me? And I think that's us, many of us have had to struggle with. And we've had that dichotomy of either, gosh, if I really read the news or if I really let that in, it's going to so destroy my equanimity that I can't even allow it. And
I think there's another aspect to that, too, which is you know, this time of year, you get a lot of people doing a lot of good things, like famous people serving soup or serving Christmas dinners to people, or, you know, Steph Curry from the, you know, basketball fame giving out big boxes to families that need it. There's a lot of emphasis on giving.
Mm-hmm.
And my question always is, what happens next month?
Good question.
You know, what happens in the next month after that? February is always a dull month for people giving. How do we maintain compassion and caring and giving without getting compassion fatigue, basically?
Beautiful. So the way we do it, the way I know how to do it, the way I guide and coach people to do that, is we make a fundamental choice to open our awareness beyond the individual circumstances of our own lives, our own conditions, what we have to get done every day. We make a choice about that, and it's a fundamental choice about opening the boundaries of separateness into the reality that we're not separate from the world, we're not separate from the suffering that's going on there, that if we're really living our spiritual lives in a fully embodied way, that separation is really more illusion than reality. And then we ask, okay, what's mine to do? How can I give my best? And how do I balance that? I love that term because it's a real one for many people, compassion fatigue or burnout. I work with a lot of activist leaders. And, you know, there's always the next thing that is urgent, that's compelling. So how do we live balance in our life? But how do we not deny the reality of very visceral suffering? And that most of us listening to this, certainly true for me, in spite of our individual challenges, we live privileged. We live privileged lives. And how can we find the naturally arising generosity? And we do that in the ways that are unique with us. Some of us may volunteer hours. Some of us may give money. It's always been startling to me that people in the lower income brackets give a much higher percentage of their earnings than people in higher income brackets. And how do I just embody compassion and care? And life has this way, when we're committed to that, when we keep that alive in our consciousness, of presenting us with opportunities. You know, we don't have to do something as radical as I chose to do. I'm glad I chose to do it. But
okay.
Life...
I want to stop with that one because it gives us such a food for thought about how we live our values. Everybody who's listening can just take that in and feel it within themselves, whatever your limitations may be, to know that there is still something we can give. We can still something we can do. And so Judith, your website is sacredunion.com.
www.sacredunion.com.
So I just want to thank her enormously for this, encourage all of you to give as much as you can for longer than just the Christmas and the holiday season. And this is Deb Shapiro at edanddebshapiro.com, and you're listening to vividlife.me. Thank you, Judith, so much, and we'll talk again soon.
We all need to go out of our mind at least once a day. By going out of your mind, you will quickly come to your senses. So thanks for going out of your mind with Ed and Deb. Be sure to join them next time. Go to vividlife.me for their up-and-coming shows and to listen to their archives on demand.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What's the first step for you personally to make the shift that you've been seeking? Find out now. Vivid Life. It's a happier, healthier, wealthier state of being. Get there today by following us on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribing to our free inspirations in your inbox at vividlife.me.
Your health is your wealth. Your prosperity is tied directly into your personal energy and health. Are you ready for abundance? Dr. Anastasia Chopoulos is the scientific healer, author, speaker, and teacher dedicated to helping you live your most energized and healthy life. Go to www.scientifichealer.com now and sign up for Anastasia's free powerful healing audio and weekly newsletter. Let's get you going with training, mentoring, and support to energize you to your healthiest and most abundant life.
You're listening to Vivid Life Radio Talk Radio that connects you to the most current, optimistic, and inspiring conversations on the planet. Get ready to be catapulted into your happiest, healthiest, and wealthiest life ever. Go to vividlife.me. That's vividlife.me for details on our previous and upcoming conversations with the world's brightest minds sharing their wisdom for happier, healthier, and wealthier lives.